Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm a feminist, but the other day somebody tweeted, if I had to have a guilty feminist extramarital affair, I honestly don't know if I'd choose Grace Petrie or Tom Selinsky. And I thought...
He sent me a screen grab of this.
I thought, I'm going to sue. I'm going to sue. Why? No, no, no. This is not okay. This is not okay. Why would you create that competition and leave me out of it? I'm the only constant two-faced part of this show. There's no need to take me out of the talent pool like that. I mean, I don't mind like anyone sliding into Tom Selinsky's DMs. That's going to make him feel great. I'd be thrilled if that happened for him. And if he said, oh, look, somebody said they fancy me and want to have an extramarital affair with me. I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, it's put a spring into my step, he might say. Same with Grace Petrie. I'm delighted for both of them to get all of the accolades. However, what I don't want to be is... not even third. I'm not even mentioned. I haven't even placed in the guilty feminist sex appeal competition. And I was put out about that for a good 24 hours. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking.
No, she sent a screen grab round to the rest of us. We all had to say, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, oh. I had to have a support group. It's lockdown's a difficult time, you know. Normally, you've got your support networks. Yeah. But not on this occasion.
That, unfortunately... it's your support networks that she wants the affair with. So
that is very...
I don't know who you get
very
to go
clear.
To really there.
Very, very clear.
I'm a feminist, but this morning I was so tired that I met someone and when she said, I'm not a feminist, I was so tired, I just went, oh, right. I'm sharing it out of shame, but it is like pick your battles. I did then get into it with her, and actually she's 100% a feminist. It was like, it's like when Dolly Parton says she's not a feminist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You are completely a feminist,
but basically, you don't like the word.
You just don't feel like Woman's Hour represents you because you chose to be a stay-at-home mom. That doesn't mean you're not a feminist, but
yes.
I didn't put it like that. I was like, let me listen. I think actually I did We had a great conversation where it turns out we have exactly...
Of course.
Well, do you know what? But some days...
I just went, all right.
Yeah. I understand that. Some days you just don't have whatever the steam is, and we're not getting our normal top-ups in this life.
We're having so little live IRL interaction.
You don't want to pick a fight immediately.
Exactly. You've got more pressure on it than ever. You're like, this is the only person I'm going to talk to this
week.
All week. And within minutes of knowing them, they've decided it's a great idea to tell me they're not a feminist.
Well, do you know what I always say to people like that? I'd rather you be a feminist and say you're not one than say you are one and not be one.
Yes. No, of course. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. But also, I would rather they be one and say they are one.
That's the dream.
I'm a feminist. But one of the people that I sent the screenshot to of the tweet was Scarlett Curtis, and she texted back, firstly, there needs to be an inquiry, but secondly, she said, maybe the person who tweeted this respects you too much to have an extramarital affair with you, that they would with Tom or Grace Petrie, to which I replied, I DM'd back, oh yay, I love respect, it's so arousing. Now, I'm sure respect is meant to be arousing, and it is, of course it is arousing.
Yeah.
But also in this context, not at all. Not arousing. At that moment, I felt like I'd rather be objectified than respected. Some days you do want to be objectified more than you want to be respected. Mm. I'm sorry, but we're all animals.
I know which one of these I'm doing next. Now you've said that.
Go on.
I'm a feminist, but it's just, I think about self-respect. During lockdown, I've been wanting to eat some sushi for such a long time. I don't live near any good sushi places. Yeah. And I'm giving a lot of context for this. It's just ridiculous. I say this as somebody who has gone to enormous lengths to detach eating from shame in any context. I've wanted sushi for a long time. I've had a bit of a sushi curse. One time ordered sushi from the only place near where I live that does sushi, and somebody else's order arrived that one contained a load of meat things that me and my partner couldn't eat, and two wasn't sushi. And then tonight was like, I'm coming to town for this. I'm going to have sushi. And I was so excited about it. And then nowhere was open to sell it at the station, so I had to get some from the supermarket. And then our lovely guest was going to have a chat with me before the show. And I was like, I'll come through in a minute, because I knew that basically I'm a feminist, but I ate that sushi in a way that I am so glad no one else saw. I ate it not just like an animal, Debs, but like the kind of animal that gets fed lumps of meat into a bowl that's had to have like spikes put in it so that they slow down.
Listen.
I don't feel shame, but I didn't feel very feminist while I was doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like someone who valued themselves,
yeah. Had control over their space.
Yeah, I ate it like the sort of person who's not changed their pants for months.
I'm a feminist, but actually, when I tweeted back to the person who tweeted that thing to me about fancying
those two
Grace
other
and
people,
Tom,
not you,
yeah, I think I actually quote tweeted it and said, "For fuck's sake!" and she then was a really nice person.
Yeah,
her name was Rachel, and she said, "Oh no, it's just that." They've both got the exact same personality as me.
Well, they're very different personalities.
Well, this needs some deconstruction. Because I said, oh, ha, whatever. No, just joking, whatever, or something I said. But inside, I thought two things. One is I immediately sent that to them, both of them, and said, look, I've lived with Tom for a long time, but I've also lived with Grace Petrie on tour.
Yeah.
And firstly, I can tell you, they are very, very different. But it's interesting that to the outside world, they seem like the same person. But here's my other main point. Okay, if you think you've got the same personality as Tom Selinsky, why do you want to be with Tom Selinsky? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
If you've got the same personality as Tom Selinsky, you need to take the Tom Selinsky role and be with me. Do you see my point?
Oh, yeah.
Because opposites attract.
I thought you were going down the road of, I think you're allowed to marry yourself these days. If you want to be with someone that's just like you, then be happy by yourself. But no, what you've done, Debs, is turned it right background to wishing it was you that they'd
well,
put
Well, my thing is, I don't want to appear to be a throbbing narcissist, but I have had quite a difficult, low and emotional week.
Oh,
and so I did think,
don't
I
say
did
that
think,
when I can't cuddle
oh,
you.
Oh, no. I had a terrible weekend. I will admit, I had a terrible weekend. I was sobbing on the weekend. I was had a horrible, horrible weekend, just like really low, really depressed. So my thought process did spiral into poor Rachel now, who just tweeted this quite sweet thing, probably just trying to lift the spirits of Tom Selitsky and Grace Petrie. Yeah. And by the way, Rachel, I must say it really did. Both of them were walking on air and with their smug little faces and their responses to my tweet of la 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 ha 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 ha, they said ha ha ha, they said ha ha ha, they said as I wept. But what I think, Rachel, that you've misunderstood here is that opposites attract. If you're exactly like Tom Selinsky / Grace Petrie, or a combination of that, you should be with me because they both love me. So you've misunderstood who you fancy. It's really me.
I'm a feminist, but I've got so little self-respect during lockdowns that I didn't notice until I got here tonight and was putting some makeup on that I had, like, not just a chin hair, but another head under there.
What?
Like, you know, I had four long hairs. I was able, you know, when you're like, oh, that's a big hair, I'll take a picture of it. And then in the picture, you can't really see it. Mm-hmm. You fucking could. It looked like a merkin. It was under there. It was like a head. You know when people do that upside down thing or they draw a couple of eyes on there and pretend that their mouth's upside down and their chin is the top of their baldy head and they like put a bit of crest there or draw a curly. It looked like it's that. It looked like another head had begun there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
And I hadn't seen it. And the worst thing is, one of my lockdown three goals has been work very hard towards doing my first handstand push-up.
Yeah.
And no wonder my gym instructor's probably been looking at that going, I can't even tell if she's in a handstand. She could be either way up.
Jess, it's just lockdown life. You look glorious to me and you always
well,
will.
Well, I plucked them out, babe.
Yeah. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Fostercue, and our very special guest, Samantha Baines, talking about divorce with music from Omarose. Woo! Hello, 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 hello. Well, this is very weird because normally here, this is absolutely heaving because King's Place is our residency, it's our home, and this is where we live, and it's absolutely packed. And then for a while, we were allowed to do shows where people sat like little groups of handmaids masked and just in their own little sections, not allowed to sit near each other in case they aroused each other. That's what it looked like. It looked like a full Handmaid's Tale situation. We have now gone into the point of COVID where I am literally performing for the other people in the show who are sitting in an empty auditorium. But you're all at home, and look, people are doing the woo-hoos. Look, woo from Gavin from Canada, hello. Francesca, whoops, Kathy Powell, Michelle Cassis, I'm looking amazing as always. Thank you so much. Now, I have made all sorts of efforts. I don't know what I look like. I find this lighting quite harsh. I've seen some of it back, and I tend not to look again. But I have got Lola London lashes on. I have looked at home. So I don't know what happens with this extreme level lockdown. I'm quite a glamorous person in real life. Like I, you know, I like to dress up and I like to kind of look my best. And it just, I put some of that stay-in conditioner in my hair, which you're meant to wash out 2 hours later. That's been in my hair for 48 hours, I realised today. And I just ran one of those teaser tanglers through it. And do you know what? It's come up fine. It turns out we don't need as much grooming as we think we do. Or I look very bad and I've got no sense of the metric anymore. I don't know where the bar is, if I'm totally honest. Woohoo, yay, hey, hello from Hackney. Look, people as close as Hackney. Oh, someone's saying great lashes, thank you. I'm a feminist, but I love your skirt. Thank you very much. It's a leather skirt. I mean, I'm sure it's pleather because we're all vegan. I'm sure it is. It's probably one of those sorts of things. People are saying, I look fantastic. Thank you. This is a really kind thing to say, because honestly, I've been in the same pajama bottoms for days and I just don't know what happens to me. It's just sort of, it spirals into a place I would never allow in the normal times, in the before times. So it actually feels really good to have nice eyelashes on and some lipstick. And then I think, you know, I'm going to do this every day for myself. I'm just for a Zoom call. I'm just going to put on my my magnetic Lola lashes. I don't. Okay, this week, I'm going to make an effort because I genuinely do feel more like myself and more like, yeah, I can do anything when I'm not in 10-day-old pyjama bottoms. I don't know why that would be. Hello from Portland, Oregon. Hello. I mean, this is the great thing about this. There's lots of compliments here. I don't know if I'll bring Jess on at all because people are saying really nice things about how I look. Hello from Fife. You look fancier than I've looked in a year. That's Fee from Fife, who uses the word fancier. It's almost implausible. Hello, Fee. Soph and Ben says your hair is rock and roll, is rock and roll, and then it says hot. Rock and roll is a kind word, isn't it? For lockdown. I'd want to try and get it to do as that thing that it does on holidays, that sort of, you know, really cool thing where there's lots of salt water in it. I try and think, oh, it's like a beach curl, except Camden Town at the moment could not be further from a beach. It's because you go for a walk in Camden and it's just grey drizzle and everything's shut. It really is like the end of the world should have come, but forgot. And you think it would have been better if it had, really. If it's like, when is the end of the world coming? Because it looks like it's any minute now, but it's putting it off. A Berlin viewer. Oh, some people are saying they're Stroud. I want to be at King's Place too. I would love that chain. Jesus, we'd all love that if you were here. But look, New Zealand people, we must keep streaming these when we are allowed audiences, because there are people from West Cork, yes, in your pyjamas. Just give us a bit of a high five or some kind of thumbs up or some kind of signal or a yes if you are, in fact, in some sort of pyjama or loungewear situation, audience, just to see. No. Okay, I am the only one. I'm the only one letting... No, I'm hibernating in my giant hoodie. Okay, I want someone coming in from Chile. I didn't even know we went to Chile, but I suppose we go wherever the internet goes. That's how it works. That's what a podcast is. It's on the internet. I think I should bring on Jessica Fostercue. Are you ready to meet my wonderful co-pilot for this evening? Then put your hats together, make incredible hooing noises for the wonderful Jessica Fostercue! Oh, hold on. You sit down.
Yeah.
And then I'll sit down.
Breathe anywhere.
Okay.
It's thrilling.
Jess has had a COVID test this morning.
It's so and has come up to have a mask off indoors.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it exciting?
Deborah, you know...
Hello.
Hello.
You know when you said I've let things go in a way that in normal life,
wouldn't.
I absolutely wouldn't. I would.
Well, normally you just don't have time to get to that level because something forces you out of the house. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
like, you can't be in the same pyjamas without getting out of them for days at a time because you're obliged to leave the house in real life. You've got to at some point get on a fresh pair of knickers and, you know, do something to your
yeah.
face, even if it's just a bit of water and mascara or something like that. You don't have to do mascara. I'm just saying, like, I would think, oh, well, I'm seeing people or I'm going out. I'll do a bit of something, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I changed my pants. I feel like you had really different levels of where the bar was at within even just that little bit there. Like, yeah, every now and again, you've got to change your pants.
Yeah, yeah, but if you're in your pyjamas, but what I'm saying is...
Splash of water? Really? For going outside?
If you're in your pyjamas, though, you're not wearing pants underneath them. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. This sounds like an Instagram poll looming.
Oh, yes. No, aren't you meant to let it breathe? I thought you were not meant to wear pants at night.
Did anyone from science ever tell anyone to let it breathe at night? I feel like everybody's nana or parent.
No, mine didn't. My mother...
Let it breathe like it's a sentient being.
No, my mother didn't say that. We did wear pants under our pyjamas, but then when I left home, everyone said, oh no, why are you wearing
let
pants under
breathe.
Your pyjamas?
Give
they
it
said,
a chance to have
when
a
I was flat sharing. Okay, can we just see, do people wear pants under their pajamas / loungewear at home. So we'll let that happen. It doesn't happen automatically. I always think people are immediately going to say, but it takes a little while to get through space. No knickers ever.
No, well, that's a lifestyle choice, isn't it? That's nothing to do with bedtime.
my friend, her father, who was very old and grand and posh, used to call hippies. He'd refer to anyone who was hippie, you know, in the 60s. He'd say, "Oh, yes, she's very brown rice and no knickers."
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I sometimes refer to brown rice and no knickers because of that. Because I
thought
it's a great,
you were
going to
tell a much less appropriate story about your friend's dad and something to do with his pants. I've got a good friend's dad's pants story.
Is it appropriate?
I think it's okay.
Great. Okay. Hunker down, everybody. Lean in.
Lovely friend Gemma's dad, Giles. It's a very... They're Christian, church-going Christian people. And he bought himself some Christmas pants that he thought, how amazing that M&S have done Christmas pants for people like me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, etc. And he thought he bought himself some pants that said, "I love God, I love God." And they just said, "Love God."
Oh, my God.
He bought himself some black silky pants that said "Love God," but he thought they meant God.
I love God.
Which is adorable.
It was sort of like the equivalent of Love Machine pants, but he thought it meant "Isn't Jesus wonderful, Jesus Christ." He thought his pants said "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior," but really it said "horny old love dog."
But I never said that about Giles.
You could have changed his name in retrospect. That would have been good.
Sorry,
Giles. If you're listening, and you're definitely not, let's be honest. If anyone knows Giles, best not to tell him. Why ruin his lockdown? He's probably having a great time.
Yeah,
praying and you know.
Oh, he's so lovely. He used to run an ice cream van, and every now and again he'd let us work in it. Never for long because of the stock control problems.
Oh yeah.
But we would take turns seeing how long we could sit. Sorry if anybody in Giles' family is listening to this and it's affected your future wealth, but we would take turns on our knees seeing how long, when you turned the stream of solid Mr. Whippy down, like if you just went, and saw how long you could just drink ice cream straight down into your mouth instead of into a cone.
The good thing about it being on your knees, that if he caught you, you could say you were praying.
Yes, to my God.
Yes,
that is Mr.
God
Whippy.
The God of Mr. Whippy. Yes. The Praise Father, be. The Son, and the soft serve. Yes, absolutely.
Blessed be the flake.
So divorce, having a feminist divorce. I mean, I've not been divorced.
Me neither. I've not been married, though.
No. But I suppose we could take it into kind of more relationship breakup territory, but I think having a feminist divorce, listen, we've got a fantastic guest and she knows about this and does a podcast on it. I think people a lot of time are put off by the paperwork, but really
it's true, it's as if there wasn't enough admin in life.
But I think it's 6 months of really awfulness and emotional paperwork, and that's the worst kind of paperwork, because if it were boring it would be better. Really emotional paperwork. But then, you know, I've got friends going through divorces at the moment and they are coming out the other side stronger and happier. Both parties, actually, coming out better.
Eventually, everybody much, much happier, I think. I think there's genuinely a lot of work to be done in terms of, like, legal reform, in the fact that even when it's very amicable, both parties want a divorce, done, dusted, want this to be friendly, there is no incentive for lawyers to do anything other than create acrimony where there is none, because that's the only way they make any money.
Yeah.
I think my parents were like, "I'm not interested in screwing them over. Like, we get on fine. Can we just get this done?" And it still takes years and it's still really expensive.
Yeah.
And you sort of, they'll take, well, that depends on that. That was the one couple that I know and I'm related to's experience, but that's boggling to me that you can't just go, no, we're done.
Yeah.
And that be it. Like, I get it that you need those systems in place for when people don't agree.
When it does get acrimonious. But even if you do agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mental.
I've had friends language. Who said that.
That's not okay. Trying so hard to stop saying mental, it's impossible. Trying to stop saying mental is making me feel mentally unwell.
Not okay.
Yes.
I think my feeling is that I am very interested in talking to Samantha Baines about, our brilliant guest, about what a feminist divorce can look like.
Yes.
Because I don't really know what the parameters are, but I do know friends that have said the same thing as you, that they are trying to be amicable with their partner and they get on and they're looking out for each other. And then somebody in the middle is kind of stirring up all this trouble and going, ah, well, he's probably going to take this from you, so you should take this from them. It's a bit like, I know somebody who, I worked at a hotel on the Gold Coast years ago in Australia, where the Australian version of blind date guests would come. It was called Perfect Match in Australia. The game show where you meet on a, you know, from behind a screen and then off you go and they send you off on this romantic holiday while filming your every
move.
It's like
the olden days, Married at First Sight.
Exactly that. And you just go off on a romantic weekend and then they'd interview the two of them. How did this date go? And sometimes they'd be really mean about each other. Sometimes they'd be quite nice. Sometimes they'd be horrible about each other. And then they'd have to sit on a sofa together watching what the other person had said. Oh. And then sometimes they'd be like, oh my God, I'm really upset, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I discovered from the contestants who came back to that hotel other times, like, you know, on their own holidays? This is what they would do. You and Samantha would go off on a date together. I mean, not in those days because it was not, there wouldn't have been same-sex blind dates.
Yeah.
But had there been, you'd go on a date together.
To be fair, Married at First Sight still also haven't bothered, I don't believe, with
any. Oh, they have in Australia.
Have they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the new series.
Well, I really hate that show, but I have seen glimpses of it with people watching it in Australia, and I've definitely seen lesbians.
I watched a series with my partner and got, I did all the way through. I was thinking, this is going to amount, I think, to 28 hours of my life, which is extraordinary. But I couldn't stop watching it, and I developed such strong feelings of hatred for some of the men, especially, that I couldn't stop watching it. And then I desperately wanted a few of the couples to stay together. It wasn't clear whether one of these couples had renewed their vows, so I looked on Wikipedia, and in doing so, within a glimpse, saw—and this is huge spoilers. But that no couple in the history of that show internationally has ever stayed together.
No, and great,
I was like, oh, it's really taken. It's really taken the fire out of my belly for this fucking show.
Well, like, it's just an absolutely really shocking experiment. Idea. Because not only are you just setting people up together and sending them off to live together, you're filming it all. So yeah. It definitely can't work. But on Blind Date, or the Perfect Match, the Australian ones, this is what they used to do. They used to go, so you'd come back for the date, you've had a nice time, and I'd say, oh, what did you think of Samantha? And then you'd go,
yeah, I had a really great time, what a great lady.
Oh. That doesn't matter. That's just not what she said about you. She said you were very, she said you just talked the whole time on the date, and she didn't get to say anything, and she said she thought you were, should I say, no, I shouldn't really tell. She used the word obnoxious, which I thought was a bit, actually, I didn't think it was very fair because I don't see you that way. Anyway, we're going to get you to say something about her to the VT now. Jessica, what did you think of Samantha?
I think she's two-faced, absolute charlatan. What does obnoxious mean?
Yeah, that's
but I get
how
what you've done. And
Deborah,
that shit staring that you did, it was such great acting.
Well, listen, if anybody's,
I felt manipulated.
If anybody's hiring people to stir up and manipulate people's emotions on a reality television show behind the scenes, I'm not working at the moment at all, so I'll do that.
What are you doing right now? No, this
I've
is
got,
too
no,
fun to
I know,
count.
I know, I am working. I'm working, I'm doing some things, but I don't have the same high moral code that I did last beginning of last year at all, where I would do nothing. I would sell nothing. I never sell anything. I would not promote anything. I would not take advertising. I would not, no. My moral code was throbbingly high. And
it's so funny. If we come out, if lockdown goes on for much longer, we're going to come out of it and you'll be doing like a Lynx advert and I'll be doing one for Weight Watchers. Like everything will have gone to shit.
Oh yeah. I'll be advertising the high horse I used to sit on. when I could fucking afford it. One high horse for sale, that high moral ground I've got that I'm not using at the moment. If anybody would like that, auctioning it off, because I certainly don't need it anymore. Just quickly check in. Social media is exactly why people...
You've chosen the longest message to try and read out there, Deborah.
Starting new hobbies. Something, I can't read it. Can you read
social
that?
Social media is awash with people baking with their kids and starting new hobbies, having a whale of the time in lockdown. But the reality for most people is struggling with isolation like we've never had before. Also, I'm sick of the sight of wife now. Laughing face. It was going so well till the last bit. But okay. That is a very fitting. That it's is very a very fitting note to bring
well,
on our guest
if you're
to talk
sick
about
of the
divorce.
If you're sick of the sight of your wife, we may have an expert on to help you with that. Our guest today is an award-winning comedian, actress, broadcaster, hearing aid wearer, and author. She has appeared in series such as The Crown. Fancy. Ooh. Call the Midwife and Sign It Witness. She is a BBC radio presenter and hosts her own podcast, The Divorce Club. Please welcome to the stage the incredible Samantha Baines. Woo. You've not just brought a glass up, you've brought a bottle up, Samantha
yes.
Baines.
Let's talk about divorce, baby. Let's talk about other people.
That looks really... Hi.
This is basically my divorce party. So I'm wearing leopard print and I've brought a bottle of wine.
Wow. Brilliant.
We'll have a hearing aid moment. One sec.
Yeah. How?
I can still hear you. It's okay. Just this is the problem with wearing masks and having a hearing aid.
When you say it's your divorce party, how long has your divorce been?
Official?
Yeah.
It's so recent.
Tell. 25 minutes before you got on stage.
No. It's probably about a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, well, we should have some of the wine then.
Yes.
What you want to share my bottle.
Oh, wow. Are we allowed, actually?
I'm sure we can touch the bottle.
Actually, if I pass the glass up and then you don't touch the glass, you just pour the wine in, then I'll get the glass back. Okay,
so I shouldn't lick the top, should I?
Don't lick the top. No. Definitely don't lick the top. But that would even be in normal times. Oh, I would recommend you didn't lick at the top of a bottle of wine and then
that's
pour it into a glass for someone else.
Party pour.
Oh, that's loads.
Deborah, I knew you'd give me that.
Give you the big
pint
one.
Of wine.
Yeah.
You cheers.
To drink one wine. 1 week so divorce to that Samantha Baines. Woo-hoo. Cheers, everybody.
That's
I would
lockdown.
Clean glasses,
cheers.
But I'm sure it's not legal. Ooh. Oh. This is, oh my God, 1 week divorced.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is really timely.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's taken a long time.
Yeah.
So you wanted to do a podcast called The Divorce Club. You started it. It's become very successful in a short period of time. Can you tell us why you wanted to do The Divorce Club?
So I got my decree nice size. There's a lot of terminology when it comes to divorce.
Is decree nice size the Latin for divorce?
No, I don't know. It's definitely not the Latin for nice divorce, which is what it sounds like.
Is decree nice side just a sort of proclamation?
Yeah, it's like it's a step on the road to full divorce. So it's your first step where a judge goes, I have read the reasons that you have put forward for getting divorced, and I agree that that's a good enough reason. Yes, someone has to agree that that's a good enough reason.
You can't just say...
For you to get divorced.
Don't want it anymore.
No, so there's a new legislation that they're trying to bring in where you can say, we just want to get divorced and we don't need to tell you anything else about it, which I think is... Great.
I think that would be ideal.
Time, really.
I think that would be ideal because it really used to stem from has there been infidelity? Has there been cruelty? Is it not been consummated? And then can it be annulled or whatever? And you have to stand up and give a good reason. I remember it happened in Friends, Ross and Rachel, and she gave all of those fake reasons, said that he was a drug dealer or something.
We learn everything from Friends. I love
really, it. Really, I've learned a lot of my worldview.
Yeah, so you have to say there's been bad behaviour or infidelity or you have to wait 2 years at the moment. So anyway, decree nisi is the first step of piece of paper towards being divorced. So I got my decree nisi and I was like, oh my God, basically I'm divorced. And I had a lovely brunch with my friend and celebration. And I was like, this is it, done. So I started my podcast then, The Divorce Club, because I didn't know anyone in my sort of circle of friends that had been divorced.
Mm.
And I just wanted to talk to someone about it, like really selfishly, and just ask them questions like, what do you do with your wedding dress? What do you do with your engagement ring? Because I felt like mine was like screaming at me from the jewellery.
Charlotte from Sex and the City, whole episode on that. Sorry, I don't mean to make this all through my popular culture references, none of which are even slightly feminist, but I have to. I'm obliged. There's nothing. I've got nothing else.
Well, this is all I had. It's like
your
all
next
you
one
know.
Be from Barbie.
What, Barbie's dream house that she won in the divorce?
Yeah.
Ken got the camper van.
Yeah. I love that camper van.
I like the car. I didn't get the car in the divorce. But yeah, so all I knew about it was from like the TV. Mm. And I feel like I've been preparing for divorce my whole life, mainly because my wardrobe is full of leopard print outfits. Right. And I know that that is a stereotype, but I've leaned fully into it and I'm really embracing it. And I'm wearing leopard print right now. But so I started this podcast just selfishly because I wanted to talk to other divorce people, and it was a good reason. Mm. I was like, hello, I'm doing a podcast, so can we have a chat about your divorce?
Oh yeah, because normally it's quite tricky to bring that up, I imagine. You can't just ring people you don't know very well and go, Margaret, I met you once at a party. I heard you were divorced. Tell me everything. They'll probably go, oh, what? Who are you? What? But if it's a podcast, they'll be like, oh, I'm so flattered to be asked. That's an interesting way of getting stuff out of people. What other podcasts can we start?
I was going to say, if you just realised that.
Yeah, I've never thought of it before.
What?
So what else could we start? We could start, like, what else do you want to know? How much people earn? The How Much People Earn podcast. That's a good idea.
How many sexual exploits have you?
Oh, what's your number?
Yeah.
What's your number?
I got asked that on a panel show.
Really?
Did you? Radio one.
A radio? Wow. Yeah. So did you have to count them up in your head?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Well, and I've not done that for a long time. And it took ages.
I was going to say, at least it's radio. Yeah. So you count your fingers.
Yeah, I'd just make it up.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, think about
it. Oh, I did. I just sort of had to pick a round. Yeah. I got to a certain point and was like...
Round down.
Round it up. I rounded it up. I'm a feminist and I rounded it up.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I meant round up. That's what I meant.
I would say since my divorce... Well, since my separation, because the divorce is very recent. Since my separation, my numbers have doubled.
Yes! Doubled?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I talk a lot on my podcast about my sexual explosion, and it really was. I went for it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Whole vaginally.
Get in.
Well, did you do the apps?
Yeah, because so I was with my ex for 8 years when we... separated, and started the podcast at the Decree Nisi, only got divorced now, so that is like nearly a year later. I thought it was going to be a few days, so I was like, let's start the podcast now because I'll be divorced in a minute. And then 4 series later,
You're I'm finally divorced.
I'm finally a member of the club that I created via a podcast, the Divorce Club. But yeah, as soon as I separated, I sort of went on a sexual explosion. It may have had something to do with the job I was doing at the time. Because a week after we separated, I got offered the MC of Magic Mike Live.
Oh, yes.
The West End show. So before we'd even separated, I'd flown to Vegas to watch the show. Obviously, this is really relatable to all divorced people. This is what happened.
So you got the offer to host Magic Mike Live. And if the listeners any at home don't know this show, if you know the film Magic Mike, it's about a very, very, very handsome, well-built stripper. And the live show is that, but without the story. And so... it's a sort of very sophisticated Chippendale type thing where men come out and do incredible dances, very sophisticated in its sort of look and feel in a weird way.
And then I pop up every so often.
You come out as the extremely accessible host and you sort of, you know, make us feel like we're allowed to be part of this. And we also obviously are in the middle of a divorce. And so it's important that we get into the spirit of it, basically.
Yeah, it's and, all in.
Yeah, and you made it... what you did was brilliant at making it accessible, I think. And you opened with an I'm a feminist butt joke.
Yes.
I remember when I came on the night, I was very thrilled.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was now.
I know, you must have done it millions of times. Anyway. It was a brilliant, brilliant show. If I'm honest, it was one of the best nights of my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. And that's I know going that, on my poster.
No, it really was. I went with a gay best friend who was over from America. And I went with two of my best female friends and you managed to get us a table right up the front. And so we got, and also Samantha tipped off the boys to give us lap dances in the middle of it. So they would come and they'd like spin your chair around. And So we'd had, you know, a couple of bottles of champagne. So we were in a really good space. And they just come and spin each other. It was,
it's almost essential to be in that space.
They were very, yeah. very, very good dancers. And I admire good dancing. And they were...
Oh, I think that's what you shouted. Very good dancing. And then
somebody came and got me out of the audience.
Imagine that in any of those situations. Very good dancing!
It was me and Susie McComa also. They got us out onto the stage. And then there was a man, and he, very handsome man, and he grabbed both of my hands and he put them on his bum. And I immediately went, is this all right? And I mean, he'd done it, so obviously it was, but I just sort of started chatting to him about consent. Mm. And my friend in the audience was videoing it and just could not stop laughing because he could see what I was doing. And he was like, were you having a chat with that man about consent? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I was like, I know you're on stage and I know it's your job.
Taking this job, he was already okay for money before he took the job. And
it just felt like I needed to. But then
paint the picture as well, I brought you and Susie on stage. They were on stage with two men who were in thongs that were sort of see-through at the back, covered at the front. Mm. You were holding on to his butt cheeks, and there was sort of 300 screaming women around
Then he put my hands on his sort of, is this pecs?
Yes.
Yeah, and I felt more comfortable with that, if I'm completely honest. But then he did some kind of, I think there was some kind of writhing dancing or something like that, and then we got sent back. But then afterwards I saw people tweeting, was that Deborah Francis White and Susie McComa who were on stage?
Was that Deborah Francis White holding that man's bosoms?
Yes, that was basically what happened. I saw people tweeting.
Very good dancing, boys!
I saw people on Twitter saying, I'm sure it was Deborah Francis White and Susie McComa. It wouldn't have been, other people said. It was, they said. I don't think it would have been. Would it have been? And Magic Mike? I mean, I've been Instagramming the whole thing. I don't know why anyone was in any doubt.
The best night of your life.
But honestly, it might have been one of the best nights of my life. And it wasn't long after that, because that was end of last year, and it wasn't long after that, you left the show because of COVID, didn't you? You didn't have your last night because they just went...
No, yeah. A week before my last show, we shut.
But to be fair, it should have closed a bit earlier because it was such a sweaty show of all of the shows. You know, there are some very slow, charming bits of Ibsen going on in the West End that got shut down before Magic Mike. And honestly, you weren't going to catch anything. They were miles away and they...
No one was holding anybody's buttock.
No. Well, in Ibsen, they don't even come close to each other.
I don't think you can catch COVID from a buttock.
Well... Sweaty though,
depends.
He's right there in your
face. They've not really covered that in the government briefings, have they?
No, they have not.
Can catch it from
buttocks. But it was the buttock singing.
Is it
they
shouting?
Come and they sweat on you. Listen, you can catch it from a lap dance more than you can catch it from Pinter. Is all I'm saying.
Yes, yeah, sure.
And from a long pause, they don't even come close to each other. They are in the front row, they are on you. They are literally on you. It was the sweatiest show. So I was like, you know, I'm really not complaining. I'm just so happy I saw it before it got shut down. Because this is not what we're meant to be talking about at all. But I do look back on that night sometimes. I've watched the videos and shared them with Wesley and Susie and Gina who brought, and just gone, remember this? And we've all gone, yeah, that was the best night of her life. And if it comes back and it's all safe and everything, I will be going again. In fact, I might audition for your role. Could I be accessible host? I feel like I'd be accessible host.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you were so funny, but you just made us feel like it was at home. And you also made the rules clear about consent for the men as well and for women not to be grabbing men and things like that, which I thought was really important.
Yeah, it was quite a rowdy environment, let's say.
It was a head night of a show, is clear.
It was, you know, you go there to have a good time. Yeah. There was drink involved. Sometimes ladies took off their pants and threw them. Wow. There were lots of things that happened. So, yeah.
Off their pants?
Yeah.
That's a night you'd want to put the clean
lots,
ones on.
Lots of things happened in that show. So, yeah, it
you
was
know,
very...
like that. Your mum always said, wear clean pants because you never know if you're going to get run over or whatever.
Or go but to Magic like, Mike and accidentally
dancer because he was so good at dancing.
They'd write their numbers on them and throw them.
Really?
I love the comments. They're just
You could ask anyone, someone says. I don't know what that means, but I definitely could.
There's somebody called Jess who says, me and my friend planned a midweek Guilty Feminist show to drink beer, eat sushi, and
one of them has a hearing aid and the other one's just got divorced.
What?
So between us all, well...
They also say awesome guest, just to be very
yes.
clear.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
God, so sorry, we've got really distracted and started talking about Magic Mike. Yes, sorry. It's so indulgent to talk about Magic Mike.
Went to LA, because why we want to get back on track with this is you're about to talk about all the fucking... You went to LA.
So things weren't going well in the marriage for a while.
Right.
Got offered Magic Mike. My ex
You think
was
that's
quite...
your exit strategy right there. That's what I would think. I'd think, great. Regular work, a meet and greet with Channing Tatum.
So he directed the show. So
yeah, the marriage is over.
Very relatable for everyone's divorce.
To be honest, I'm very happy with Tom, but if Channing Tatum came and said, I'd like to direct you, I'd have to say, Tom, we've had a good run. It's been lovely, but
now I'm
Channing
leaving.
And I are
I can't
be very
believe
happy.
She's saying that to our only audience member.
Really alienating the audience.
That's literally the only person we've got
Channing,
to laugh
out loud.
I would
never leave you for Channing Tatum. That's not going to happen unless he asks.
Honestly, though, if you ever get divorced, I think everyone should have to spend a week with Channing Tatum because it does wonders. Things weren't going well. Went to Vegas to watch the show in Vegas. Went to LA to work with Channing on the script. And the whole time I'm like trying to be professional, meeting Channing Tatum for the first time. What do you wear? Also,
leopard skin, I assume.
I just wore something like Smart Cash because I thought I don't want to go too heavy in and we might have to do rehearsals. He also has a whole house as an office and I pooed in his office like within an hour of getting there because I anxious poo. So there was a lot going on. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, my marriage isn't going so well. Great. And then I'm sort of trying to be funny and writing feminist jokes for the show. So all of this was going on. I was thinking we're going to work through this difficulty in my marriage. Came home, I think I twisted my ankle because of my hearing aid. I have hearing loss on one side, so I have real balance issues. And if my hearing aid runs out of battery, which it did in LA, I fall over like that. Like I tripped on a bit of pavement. I fell over so spectacularly in LA outside a pizza shop that I had an iced coffee because I was trying to be like cool and American. And I threw it down the street, fully splayed, fell over like face down on the pavement. So much so that the man in the pizza shop that I fell over outside came out, picked me up, brought me into his pizza shop and gave me free pizza and water. It's actually great. But so that had just happened. I was flying home that day, walked into my house, really looking forward to seeing my husband because I'd had a terrible day, saw him and thought, it's over.
What?
Yeah. It was just a real...
You just knew.
The moment, yeah. And I speak to some people on the podcast and they have a similar thing, or some people it takes, you know, it's much longer process. But I just knew in that moment that something had gone... And I think it was the distance of being in LA with Channing that sort of helped me get that perspective. So we had this really amicable chat at the time where we both cried and told each other how amazing each other was, but that we didn't want to be married anymore. Mm. And then he packed a bag and he left. So I'd come back from LA.
So he felt the same?
Yeah, he felt the same.
Just erode.
He started the conversation sort of a few weeks before, and we both said that we weren't happy, but we didn't sort of make any decisions. I had a week then. My sister came to stay with me. I didn't get out of bed for 3 days. Wow. And I remember on day three, she was like, you must wash yourself.
Oh, so it was like an early lockdown. It was a pre-lockdown situation. Where yeah,
I was disgusting because I hadn't had a shower or changed any of my clothes. And I remember putting on jeans for the first time at the end of that week. Felt really important. Mm. And it was so early lockdown. It felt really like, I don't know, the structure of the jean or something. Mm. I was like, I'm getting back to myself. This is 1 week in, and I wasn't, but I felt better. So I had a week of that. And then I started rehearsals for Magic Mike. So I was surrounded by 15 semi-naked professional dancers and Channing Tatum every day. And I know that that sounds like amazing, like living the divorce dream. But I was doing that in the day and then going home and sobbing on my kitchen floor because I felt so alone. So it was a really like intense. I remember this one time. I mean, it's funny now. At the time, obviously, it wasn't funny because I was crying. But I was face down on my kitchen floor, which is slate. Hello, oh. Doing very well for myself.
Lovely, absolutely lovely.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool, and I liked that.
This is such, I don't mean to be binary and, oh, men do this and women do this, but this is quite a female alley to go down in the middle of a divorce story. Slate, lovely, very cool. Oh, I interesting. Terracosta, I do like a slate floor.
Any stone.
Anyway, back to the divorce floor.
Yes, please. Lovely to rest a sobbing cheek on.
I was face down on the very cool slate, which
been
is
there,
actually
done it,
quite...
Love it.
Yeah, it's quite nice because of the cool, sort of reminds you that you're still here. Anyway, I was crying and my tears were pooling in the slate because it's very uneven. And my cat came over to me, Victoria, her name is. She's very regal.
Posh cat, yeah.
Yeah, they were called Victoria and Albert, but then Albert died. But it was like, of course he was going to die. Yeah, he followed in history. Anyway, Victoria came over, sniffed me and just walked away. No. And I thought, this is
where you
lowest.
Need a dog. In a divorce.
But then at least you're like, at least,
in a divorce, you need a dog, not a cat, honestly. Because a dog will sit on your lap and comfort you and be loyal and bring you treats and things like that. I imagine that's what having a dog
Deborah
is
hasn't
like.
Got a dog.
No,
bring you treats.
Bring you a cupcake, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's pour you a
divorce party.
Pour you a Pinot Grigio and say it's all right there. I don't know. This is what I imagine owning a dog is like. I own three cats. I can only assume the dog will pour you a glass of wine, ask you how you're feeling, tell you he's
Deborah's
a bastard.
Deborah's imaginary dog's got a fridge on its back.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve you. The collie will say, the border collie will say, he never deserved you. And even though it was amicable, he'll just say the right things like, you know
if
what?
If I was going to have an extramarital affair, it would be with you.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Absolutely. That would be a bit disturbing because I once saw a documentary about women who did that and it was disturbing.
Yeah, I heard some stories about people with their pets that is...
Oh, I've seen the documentary.
No, we don't need to go there.
One woman with a horse.
That broke her pelvis. I feel like that's an urban myth.
I didn't see a pelvis breaking off.
Oh, no.
Anyway, sorry. God. Divorce. Divorce.
Sorry. We're getting distracted.
Sorry. So, not Catherine the Great. She was married when that happened. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so it was a really weird time. I was sort of, you know, empowering women every night, talking about sex and, like, owning your sexuality and doing a dance routine on stage, which I've never done before, with like professional dancers.
You were really good.
Thank you. It really shows up though when you're surrounded by professional dancers and you have to dance. You're like, wow. And all the, you know, in rehearsal of a dance show, there's just a mirrored wall. So in rehearsal of theatre, I know you guys both do a bit of treading the boards as well. Mm. In rehearsals of theatre, you just rehearse in a room. And in a rehearsal of a dance show, there's a whole mirror. So like every rehearsal, when I was just being awful at dancing, I had to look at myself compared to all these amazing men. I was like, I'm getting divorced. This is too much. At one point, they played a song that we were going to do a slow dance to. And I burst out crying. And I realised it was the dance from my wedding.
Oh, the first God. Dance.
The first dance, yeah.
Wow.
It's intense.
Drink.
Drink.
So at what What
then led to the sexual explosion?
The sexual explosion, which I think is the feminist part of this story in a way.
Yeah.
Well, it's all feminist in a way, like realizing you don't want to do it anymore and not just limping along thinking, I'm too scared to leave, is feminist. Having an amicable discussion with your partner, having them leave. I'm not saying the man should always leave, but I'm saying often I think it's the woman that leaves the home and that or feels obliged to leave the home. And it should be the person who needs to leave or the person who's, you know, got another place. I'm not saying that's a feminist issue in itself, but a lot of the way that you've told this story, you've seemed kind of in charge of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think also I have anxiety, so I need to be in control in every situation. So I think me being like, okay, what are you going to do now? You're going to pack a bag and leave? Okay, great. Was me just trying to take control of a really bad situation. And actually, I think I felt like a feminist and I felt in charge that I sort of said, this can't go on.
Yeah.
But having spoken to a lot of people through the divorce club, I do think there's lots of feminists who stay because of their children or because they want to make everyone else's life better and don't actually think about themselves. And I think that can be quite a sort of feminist choice in that, you know, I choose to make other people happy.
Yeah,
I think it's so brave to leave a relationship. It's also so brave to stay, especially if it's not good for you. So there's just so much caught up with it. But I did have a sexual explosion. It was amazing. I think one of the best things about getting divorced is you're suddenly so free. And you know that from any breakup. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, no one cares if I'm going to come home tonight, but in a good way. Like I don't have to text them and be like, I'll be on the 9:45 train, you know. And also I felt when I met him, I was like in my early 20s, I just left uni. So dating apps weren't around. So I could go on all these dating apps. And it's like a little black book of people you've never slept with. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to go back to that guy because, you know, he was really good in bed, but then you remember he had that wart that was a bit troubling. So you made him put a plaster over it, true story, and then still had sex with him. So you don't have to, the stories from my life, you don't have to do that. You just find new people. So I was so excited and I just went on a complete explosion. I remember I'd always wanted to have sex in a public toilet. That was like always a goal of mine. And so when I got divorced, I was like, right, now's the time. And one night, I was in a very posh members club. I won't say which one, in case people know him. And I ended up having sex in the toilets with the waiter who I just met and he was still on shift.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
How do you do that though? Like, what? How do you go from, does the pecan pie come with ice cream or cream, to, like how, where's the... Can you talk me through the steps?
Well, I feel like I wasn't going out that evening like, I'm going to have sex in a public toilet. It was just something that was, you know, playing away in the background.
Wow.
And there was a handsome...
Cool. That is really cool.
There was a handsome...
Deb
and
I have both got logical... There's been a leap of logic and we're not... Just concentrate on what happened in the end, I reckon.
No, I need to know the steps.
Oh, God.
So, I feel like when you... Especially a divorce this and a marriage, there's so much in it. You're filling out all this paperwork. So when you go out and when you feel free, you're like on fire. And a friend of mine said, it's like sex is dripping off you.
Yeah.
And I really felt so sexual and like I had these sexual vibes that I was just sending out into a room. And so I've never felt like that before.
So what's the first interaction with the waiter? You see him, you fancy him?
Order a drink.
Order a drink.
Little smile. Flirty time.
I'm imagining Soho House, Greek Street. Is that right?
No, a different one.
Okay. Groucho Club.
I'm not telling you which one.
Shoreditch House.
If you've been...
You're going to get a waiter fired. We already know that he was on shift.
Just write it down there and I promise I won't tell anybody.
When I explain the toilet, you'll know which one.
Okay.
Oh, this is tantalising. If you're not in the room...
So we're flirting. I've had a few wines. I'm with my friend. He starts giving me free drinks. We're sort of, you know, getting on well, talking very close to each other. Do you remember when you could do that?
Yes.
Yes.
When you could smell someone else's breath. You were so close.
Yeah. And now you just have to smell your own from a mask.
Oh, and it's so... I've realised that I have quite bad breath.
Everybody thinks that. I think after a while, it's because it's been refracted. Wrong word.
No, anyway, I will not have the sexy story disrupted. Yeah.
by this bad
halitosis.
This is a titillating story and you've ruined it. Continue.
I've had to buy a spray. I feel like a lot of sexual stories have been ruined by bad breath. But anyway, so we were flirting. We had a little kiss. I was quite shocked by the kiss. So we were flirting. We were quite close, but I knew he was on shift. So I didn't think anything. Anyway, he kissed me. And then he was like, I'll meet you downstairs. I thought he was joking, right? So I didn't go downstairs. And then later I needed the loo. So I went downstairs to the toilet. And on the way up, he was waiting on the stairs. And then we started kissing. And then he was like, come with me to the toilet. And then sensible pre-divorce Sam was like, no, no, I'm just going to go back upstairs. This has already been very racy. But then divorced Sam went, oh my God, we might have sex in a public toilet.
And that's always been a fantasy of yours.
Yeah, and it's always been a fantasy. So I went with him into the toilet and it was a 4-cubicle toilet, right? And at the end, there was a mirrored area.
Right.
So anyone who's been to this place will now know where it is. There's a mirrored area. So he brought me to the mirrored area, lifted me up.
What?
Against the mirrored wall.
No.
And we had sex like that. And I remember, drunk Sam, I had a moment.
In the public bit that anyone could have walked into.
And someone did, wait. So it sounds very,
This
is what you do when you're divorced.
Somebody there is guessing the club. They think, I will neither confirm nor deny, but they think they've confirmed the club.
This isn't during lockdown, by the way. This is when we were
obviously not.
These things.
These guys are loving this. There's a lot of keep her on point. Deborah, keep her on point. Talk us through it step by step.
Yeah, okay.
It's creepy, I'll be honest, from an audience we can't see.
No, actually.
How much detail you want about this sexcapade.
People are saying, oh my God. Sorry, continue.
This is a different podcast tonight than usual.
I'm loving it. This is my favourite ever. It's my favourite episode. Continue.
It's a tale of my sexual exploits. But this is what's great about being divorced is I would have slut-shamed myself about this before.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes since, I feel like, oh my God, did I really do that?
But we're back to the mirrors. Sorry. He's lifting you up. You're on the mirrors.
He lifted me up against the mirrors. I was wearing a skirt, so it's fine. So we were having sex
You were aloft.
I mean,
aloft?
Yeah.
You were levitating. Your feet were off the ground.
My feet were off the ground.
Why is that word so funny?
And look, I am not a small lady.
Word.
I have boobs.
If I can't talk about my breath, you can't say the word a lot.
I'm so upset it's too late. So
I have boobs and a bottom, right? No, I did not expect, and he was quite, you know, young. So I didn't expect that he could lift me, but he did. He really went for it. So we're having sex against a glass wall, mirrored wall, and it sounds very exciting.
It does.
In practicality, it is quite a bit like, oh, how do you move? Because my back's against the wall and I keep sliding down. So there was a bit of that. So it wasn't all glamour. But I did have a moment with myself because I was in essentially a mirrored room with a penis inside me having quite a lovely time. Drunk Sam in real life looked into the eyes of Mirror Sam. And we had a sort of moment of like, we're doing this. And it's kind of fun. And I really strongly remember the moment more than the sex.
Yeah.
So then the cleaner came in.
That's all right.
And said, I have to clean in a very sort of sad, dejected way.
Oh, it's not God. Her first time of walking in on that situation.
I felt really
what
bad
a thing
for her.
To say as well.
Yeah, I've got to clean in here. Can you there just was, move it along?
There was so much emotion just in that one line when she said it was really. I'm going to use that in an acting role in the future. So at that point, I was like, oh my God. No one's ever caught me having sex before. So these are all new things.
Yeah, a lot happening at once. Had you even had sex aloft before?
Thank you.
I've had sex in a loft. I don't think I have had sex aloft.
No.
I've always been on a surface.
Yeah. There needs to be... I want to know more about the mirrors. Was there anywhere for any sort of purchase?
Because I don't think I would feel comfortable.
No, so
I'd be like,
mirror,
I'm heavy. Oh, he's going to be...
Mirror.
Oh, am I going to be...
Yeah, but I'd had a few wines.
Yeah.
And I was excited.
Yeah.
But normal... I think pre-divorce, Sam would have been like, I'm too heavy for this. What's going on?
Does he think I'm heavy? If he wants to lift me up, I'm having a great time. I'm aloft. I'm a bit smashed. This man's very handsome.
Yeah. all consensual, very safe, lovely. There was a chair, so at one point we did move to the chair.
Lovely. Do you know what? I'm glad that you had that bit in as well.
That we moved.
Because I'm enjoying the story, but also I'm getting sort of empathetically tired of sigh.
I mean, we weren't there for hours.
Okay, no. Fine. Okay,
it was a quickie.
It wasn't a prolonged. Were you able to...
It wasn't
this,
a tantric.
This might be more graphic than you
session.
Want to say, but were you able to finish before the cleaner left or go into a stall? Or
so the cleaner arrived. I pulled down my skirt. He had his waiter trousers around his ankles. He pulled his trousers up. I thought, this is the end.
He was
like, no, let's go into a cubicle. So we went into a cubicle, locked
the
door.
Cleaner just cracked
she
on.
She cleaned.
Oh, God.
And he sat on the
not sure
toilet
how
seat.
Into this
I
bit.
Straddled.
You came.
Got the job done.
You did it.
And then he was like, oh, my God, I've got to go back to work. And I was like, go.
Yeah.
Let him out of the door
of
the toilet.
Oh, I thought we were going to catch a movie and go to Bella Pasta.
And then I sat in the toilet and just had a little giggle. I feel like I had a giggle for like 15 minutes with myself in the toilet.
Wow.
Just, and also listening out to see if the cleaner was still there
of
because
course.
I didn't want to face her on my own.
No one would.
But that sort of sums up my divorce experience of sexual explosions.
And, I mean, it's a remarkable story. People are very pleased to have heard it.
It was really good.
Okay, so people are loving the Aloft. Aloft's getting a lot of action. Long live Aloft. Aloft, I love Jess's self-amusement when she said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not great
Aloft
comedian
Aloft is now
work,
my favourite word. Aloft is a good name for a special club.
There is already a performer's bar in Edinburgh called
The Loft. Yeah, which I now never think of the same way again.
Yeah. I don't want to get laid in one of those.
I really do not want to get laid in the Loft bar because it's such an awful...
Although
you do
have to dream set in that toilet.
Oh, you do have to pick a good toilet. If you're going to have sex in a toilet that other people go into that isn't in your house, I feel like you do have to scope out a nice loo.
Oh, and actually, and if you're going to have sex in a toilet, you want it to be one that is regularly cleaned. So maybe if anything, actually, that is like the little bit of sort of...
The cleaning coming in was
reassuring.
Yeah,
it's reassuring,
But also, we did the next woman in.
I don't think
the
we
walls
cared.
Would have been cleaned.
I don't think he's going to be employed there still anyway. If he's regularly,
he is.
He absolutely is. Okay,
he still works there. Yeah.
Wow. Great. Wow. Have you seen him since? Have you gone in and seen him?
I've seen him since. Sober seeing him is quite a... Just we had one other encounter afterwards.
Oh, this has taken a turn.
I didn't know that it has. It sounded like the beginning of real love.
Handsome private members waiter. That's a private member you've seen more than once. Do you... I'd call that a membership.
But I feel like I was in a sexual explosion stage where I just needed to feel my sexuality.
Yeah.
And I was impulsive and spontaneous. So I just did... If I felt sexual and the other person was consenting, I just did it. And now I've calmed down more. So when I've seen him after my calming down, I haven't automatically had sex with him. I've just ordered a tea.
Yeah.
And that's lovely and feminist as well. You're like, we did that. That was a lovely moment. There was another lovely moment. That
I can
also
see
happened.
You now without sleeping with you. I'll just have a tea.
I'll have a tea. And actually, do you have any of the good chips?
And we have a little, we have a little lovely grin though. I'll order a peppermint tea and he'll sort of smile in the way that only we know while we're smiling.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'll just drink
well, only you and the cleaner who walks past and goes, I know why you're smiling. Yeah. There's only the three of you in that special... That special memory for the three of you.
Well, there's three of you and now us and...
Yeah, and now everyone on the podcast, including people in Berlin and Chile.
Yeah.
And Australia. These makers of Bridgerton need to pick up this story. Well, I think Sam will probably write it herself, although mostly at the moment you write children's books, so that's not appropriate.
No, and I think there's a... It's really weird being a comedian and being, going through a divorce, being so sexual at the same time as writing children's books and my publishers being like...
Can you tone down
can
the...
Can you just be like a lovely, wholesome children's book writer? And I'm like, no, because women are sexual beings and I want to talk about it. And it's but,
parents have sex too. That's how the children come about. So I
What a great argument. Mm. How did any of these little bastards reading my book, which you can't call them because you want to sell books, any of them come about? Through, I'll tell you what, because one of their parents went to the club, the private members club, and met a waiter, and then went home and told the...
Oh, my sexist five-year-old just the other day said, he's playing with a doll, and he said, which is good and feminist, and then he said, I don't want a doll, I want a real baby. And I was like, well, when you're older, you can, maybe you can be a daddy. And he went, oh, I don't like the sound of that. I just meant a brother. I'll be a brother. And I went, what do you mean you don't like the sound of that? And he went, I think someone's got to do the kinkle work. And kinkle's what he calls his todger. And he went, and I think that sounds gross.
So he knows about how...
Someone's got to do the kinkle work. And I don't want to do that. I think it sounds gross, he said. So
when he's slightly older,
remind him of that in front of every partner he ever has.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great story to get out at Christmas when he brings his first partner home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ideal. It's the dream. Do you have any top tips through your podcast for feminist divorce?
Yeah, I think obviously I had my sexual explosion, and if you want to do that, do it.
People do seem to want to do that from the feed.
I mean, there was another time a man that I was dating rung me and he wanted to have phone sex and I couldn't be bothered. So I just put the video phone over one breast and just rotated it and he just wanked to that.
Wow.
Great. Yeah. And I feel like that was quite feminist because I didn't want to get involved, but you know, I was happy to help. So... if you have that, go for it. But there are some people that go the other way. And Suki Webster said, I'm quoting her directly, her nunny shut up like a clam. Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think, you know, you might go in that direction and that's absolutely fine. It's just embrace whatever you're feeling at that time because it's such a weird time. Yeah. Also, Sarah Millican came on the podcast and she had a great tip that I have used, which is to change your partner's name in your phone.
Oh.
Because my partner had a sort of lovey-dovey name from the marriage before. And then every time you get like a message for them, which is about like chasing the solicitor or something.
It says bunny rabbit.
Yeah, it says something cute something. And it reminds you of that and you feel a little sadness in your gut. So Sarah suggests changing it. And originally when things were very amicable, I changed mine to just fart orange. Just because that was the first thing that came into my head. And then every time he messaged, I was like, oh, fart orange is silly. And then later on, I changed it to bucket of piss.
So you were presumably in a worse place.
In a worse, yeah, the financials don't get great. We're friends now, but the financials aren't a great point in any divorce, I think. But you know, change that to whatever feels good to you, but something just a bit funny so that every time they message you, it's not like bringing you back to a lovely memory. It's making you have a giggle because there is so much back and forth during and all the paperwork and they're constantly like, chasing you. It's horrible.
In Spain, lorry drivers, when they go to honk their horn, the horns are fitted with like the sounds of like nursery rhymes and stuff. So it'll be like, go to honk it at someone, it'll be like, and it's sort of like, I suppose it takes all the aggression out of it, but it's doing the equivalent, isn't it, essentially for yourself when the phone beeps up of being like, oh, well, I've called you Alan Dick Splash. I'm going to chuckle at that and not be in any way moved.
I think the trumpet would be nice, actually. I wish I could change it to just a noise.
Or just Deborah saying, aloft.
Aloft. Somebody says, how very Miriam Margolyes of her. I don't know what that refers to. Boob phone sex reminds me of your younger self putting a bra on my knees and passing that off as a
tit pick. Nice. That's really funny.
I was once sent
my
a dick
friend's
pic.
Ex is twatty fuckface. Good to know.
Wow. I was once sent a dick pic because when I first got into dating apps, I didn't know about this. And some people ask you to move to Instagram to chat because they can send you photos.
Oh.
And I hadn't really had dick pics before because I was married. And I sent a dick pic of someone at a picnic outdoors on a like picnic rug with food, and it was a flaccid penis just sticking out the side of shorts.
Ooh.
Upsetting.
Did you like it?
No, but no. I thought that's a weird choice.
Yeah, that's a strange choice,
a
isn't it?
Of mine
it's like
who's
an advert for
the
luncheon
apps.
Meat.
Yeah,
no one wants to see it.
No,
I awful. Don't. I don't want to see a
testicle. It's a Friends episode, isn't it?
Well, a friend
of mine who's doing the app sent me a picture of just somebody's. This is their main app photo.
Yeah,
and it was a picture of a loo, and in the loo was the shadow of their erect penis, so you could see how big it was. And floating in the loo was a spider. Imagine how unbelievably unarousing and frightening that is. And I went, oh my God. And she went, yeah, he's a good kisser though.
Can I just do one final tip?
Yes.
This is a serious one.
Yes.
Talk to people about your experience.
Yeah.
Because it's a really hard time. And it's really important to open up and maybe see a therapist, or you might need I had medication from my GP. So please talk about what you're going through as well as
great.
Have lots of orgasms.
Excellent. Our guest today is an absolutely brilliant musician. Many of you will remember her as one of the leads and composers of Suffragedon. She's here with a singer who I think might be Gemma, but she's behind a mask. Is it Gemma? Okay. So please welcome to the stage, Omarosa and Gemma.
Woo!
Woo! Hello. Firstly, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
How's
good.
Lockdown for both of you?
Yeah, it's getting tricky now.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Now.
It's more of a challenge than it has been traditionally.
Yeah, I was like summer, new vibes.
Yeah.
Be creative, have some more time. Obviously, other than the horrible virus.
Yeah, obviously. We try and find silver linings because we're human.
The other silver lining is that you get to live with me.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true.
So you're in each other's bubble, in each other's world, and you both sing, and you can sit there singing together and saying,
maybe we're not
allowed to go outside, but here we are making music together, two feminists together, having a wonderful time. However, now you're coming into this more difficult part of lockdown. So our theme is divorce. Can you give us any brilliant breakup anthems?
How about Walk On Me, which we're about to sing?
Is Walk On Me. So this is the song you're going to sing.
It's bang on theme.
And this is a new release from Omarosa.
It was like the back end of last year. So I've never had a divorce, but I did break up with someone after 14 years. So I feel like...
That's like a divorce, isn't it?
Same deal.
Similar. 14
years.
I don't want to claim the divorce thing, but... This was written kind of after that, and it was like me toying with where I stood on the whole dating front. I maybe didn't have a sexual explosion, but I did not have one either. So it was kind of like I was in the middle of things, and I think I always write from a bit of the middle of things. Like, do I want to be walked all over, so to speak, taken advantage of, or do I not want to be taken advantage of? You know, where am I at, basically? And that's this song.
Great. Well, in that case, without any further ado, Omarosa and Gemma, take it away.
Thank you.
I've been climbing up the walls. I laid my pride down flat to bring my fall. I scraped my hand against my blooming balls. You broke it down and shit, you saved it all. I squeezed a lemon on my ecstasy to my traditional old school best beliefs and praised it, marinated it, paraded, celebrated, reinforced and consummated it. You pulled out at once and tell me twice. Pulled a rabbit from my head just to pay the price. Now I'm a fool and you so cool. Yeah, that's the rule and you so higher than the quote. She's a lady in the street, freaking the sheet, who thought my pain would be your defeat. It came, you saw, you wanted more. Be strong, baby girl, as before. And walk on me. today. It's really never real after that. It's really never real. It's really never real after that.
The response here is great. The one great thing about people being at home and not in the theatre is people are going, I'm finding them on Spotify right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm buying the album. People are saying they're buying the album. So I'm very excited. Presumably, people can find out, they can download it, they can buy it, they can stream it.
All the streaming and major streaming platforms and probably iTunes and all of that stuff.
Wonderful. Chloe said you're both wearing leopard skin too, so that's very on
that
theme.
That was intentional actually as well.
Was it? Was it a leopard skin, breakup leopard
maybe
skin?
Maybe that is the breakup code. You must.
The breakup code is leopard skin, absolutely. You can wear leopard skin if you're not breaking up, just to be clear.
Yes, no, you can.
People are woohooing though, that's absolutely fantastic. And Gemma, what are you doing at the moment?
Oh, I'm doing something much more boring. I'm training to be a therapist. So
that's amazing. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's exciting.
Help me.
Thank you in advance.
Well, there'll be a lot of people getting divorced because they've heard this episode who are going to be needing your services. I think that's a wonderful thing. Everyone's going to download that song because why wouldn't you? It's glorious. Also, I felt I was sort of doing some chair dancing there because I'm never out. I never hear
it's
live
really
music anymore.
Debs.
I really wanted to, yeah. Also, I've been dancing a lot in lockdown, so I feel very free in my body at the moment. Samantha Bates, do you have anything to plug?
I have a podcast called The Divorce Club.
Great.
And if you have children, then I have a children's book called Harriet Versus the Galaxy, which is about a little girl with a hearing aid like me who fights aliens in space with her gran.
Wonderful. Guess and there's also it. A non-binary character in that book, which I love.
Yeah. Harriet's best friend is Robin, who's non-binary.
Wonderful. So check out that book, a very feminist children's book. If you have a child or know a child, that book is for you. Jessica Foster-Q, do you have anything to plug?
I'm going to get that book for my sexist son.
I have a
podcast as well. We all have a podcast. Mine's called Hoovering and it's all about eating. See you there.
Yum. Okay, check out everybody's stuff. It's all brilliant. Also, please support King's Place in any way you can. There's other events here. I'm sure you can donate. When it's open again, please come back here. It's been fantastic to be out and to be out of my pyjamas and to be back in our home. And it's actually felt really nice, this show. I'm getting better at these and I just felt really great. And actually, it's really been great to have a very sort of light, fun, quite gossipy, salacious episode and not to be talking about something sad in lockdown. I think it's been actually really great with lots of lols.
Even though people would expect divorce was sad.
Actually it's mostly divorce. You think it's going to be sad. It's mostly shagging waiters in private members clubs, as it turns out. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Foster-Q, and our special guests Samantha Baines and Omarose with the incredible Gemma. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Sheldon. The producer was Tom Zielinski for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Zoe, Tom, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Woo! I think this is another time where my guest has just then upstaged me. That's really what's happened there.
No.
I'm joking. I'm joking. And it sounds like I'm not, so I shouldn't have said it. But keep talking. I tried to do a callback and it just looked needy.
I'm a feminist.
I loved it.
I'm a feminist, but you saying that has really made my month. Even though I'm like...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.